B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
There used to be a gray and tower alone on the sea. You became the light on the dark side of me. Love remains a drug that's the high and not the pill. But did you know that when it snows, my eyes become a lion? The light that your shot can be seen.
Is there a better feeling in the world?
Oh my God.
So we're like making fun of that song yesterday.
Yeah.
And then like Trey's like, I think I'm gonna record that song. I'm like, you record that song. And then like halfway through he stops, he's like, my pain leaving.
Somebody tweeted us yesterday, they were like, that song's a real guilty pleasure of mine. I was like, correction, it's a guilty pleasure of everyone.
Guilty pleasure? I will shout it from the rooftops that I love that song. I don't care. And it's a beautiful song.
It is so, an amazing song.
Yeah, like, Trey's listening to it, takes the earbud out, and he's like, hey, man, I just got to say, this is a great song. It's a I go, it is a wonderful song. Coach comes back, and he goes, you know, this is a really good song. And Trey and Alex said, it's like, it's a great song.
It's an amazing song.
If you don't feel feelings while listening to that song, I don't think you're a human being. I think you're an
android. You're Kawhi Leonard.
You're an android sent from another planet to destroy us is what it is. But I think this is the new Sixers song. And Joel Embiid, Trey, to your point, Joel Embiid is a coward for not coming out to that song last night.
Seriously,
like
DJ Ghost. Come on.
How do you not do that?
I don't know. That would have been hysterical.
Yes.
That would have been good.
How does he not come out to Kiss from a Rose?
I don't know. Apparently, he doesn't really... You know what? Maybe he really doesn't love winning. Although he played great last night. Maybe he has no passion. Maybe that's the problem. I don't know. No, like, I thought it was described best last night by our friend Paul Hudrick, who joined us yesterday, who said there was a smattering of booze. A smattering of booze. We have the recording. Our friend Devon Givens was kind enough to record that for us. He's going to join us at 9 o'clock today. Devon was doing the pregame show last night, and he sent us the audio, so we have that, of what it sounded like in the Wells Fargo Center. What it sounded like the exact moment Joel Embiid was introduced, and as we predicted, the overwhelming cheers.
Real quick, do you think at any point we'll actually learn the words to Kiss from a Rose?
Oh, God, no.
Okay.
Why would we do this?
Why ruin something good?
Yeah, exactly.
Just wanted to clarify.
Yeah, where we are right now. I think it's good.
What do you mean? We don't know the words? Totally sing the words in unison. Yeah. Well, yeah, I like to scat. What can I say? Shibadoo pow! Like, that's all I got to say. But last night's game was spectacular. I mean, it really helped put to rest a lot of things, at least for now, at least until after the All-Star break, because you just had the feel-good feeling. That's it. That's all you had. You saw Joel Embiid be his dominant self. You saw Ben Simmons be his dominant self. You saw Josh Richardson. Now, look, anytime you watch Kawhi Leonard or any player like that in the NBA, you know, top three player, whatever, you wait for that moment where you hope it's not close late. Because you know, when it's 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, that's when that guy takes over. And Josh Richardson crossed him over, took him to the rack, and got the N1 to help seal the deal for the Sixers. It was spectacular. It was great seeing Josh Richardson back in the starting lineup. It was good seeing Al Horford out of the starting lineup, because we've all talked about that for a long time now. It finally happened. Furkan? Furkan.
Yeah, Brett made a mistake.
That was a mistake.
That was a mistake to start him. I didn't like it when I saw it at 6 o'clock on Twitter. I was like,
No, it's not the way to go. Glenn Robinson the third was the way to go right there.
And he corrected it.
Yes. Kudos to Brett for correcting his mistake.
Here's the thing. You can't tell one player that it's not his fault and he didn't do anything wrong and it's not a punishment. Go to the bench. like he did with Al Horford, and then drastically reward another player for back-to-back 30-point games.
It was the equivalent for me of when you have an injury on the offensive line of moving, instead of just replacing one person, all right, let's move the left tackle to right tackle, the right tackle over here, and then put a replace. No, keep Korkmaz where he was thriving. Keep him on the bench.
That's it. That's all you had to do. You have a guy coming out of the Warriors organization who has started every game he's played this season, and now he's coming off the bench for you. By the way, I got to give so much credit, because whenever a guy gets traded in basketball, in football, you always have to find your groove. Hockey, baseball, not so much, because, you know, it's individual performance, basically. But in basketball, oh, I got to learn the scheme. Sometimes guys will hide out in the corner, especially if you can shoot a little bit like Glenn Robinson can. They'll hide in the corner, they'll hide in the perimeter. They don't want to get in the way of the spacing of the chemistry of the rest of the team. They don't want to disrupt the chemistry. Glenn Robinson just lets the game come to him.
Yeah.
And then he actually, this is amazing. Talk about basketball IQ, Trey. This guy reads what's in front of him and then reacts to it. Hey, all right. Hey, look, averaging 8 points a game in a brief two games so far with the Sixers is great. But I just love the instincts he has to be able to watch what's happening in front of him, react to it, and then also, by the way, react well. Whether it's cutting to the rim, whether it's shooting from the outside. And here, look, I think the biggest ovation from yesterday, it wasn't Joel Embiid's introduction by any means, because, again, there was a smattering of boos.
Stupid.
I concur. But you knew there was going to be a couple of people down there.
Yeah.
The
idiots that like the reputation we have.
I would say, exactly. And I love the ovation that Joel Embiid got after he blocked the shot of Marcus Morris after their, Marcus versus Joel Volume 3? Is that what it is right now?
Yeah.
Take 3 of that?
Yeah, that was good.
Uh-huh.
But Joel has to understand that when one approaches the other for the fight, one must lower the chin or drop the body just a little bit. Because when Morris put his hands in his chest, he almost folded and beat like a chair.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God. Hey, whoa.
Well, I would not mess with Marcus Morris.
But still, if one approaches the other like that.
Okay.
Kind of have staggered your feet a little bit. Mm-hmm. Can't come in their feet balanced.
Yeah.
You know, hey,
gotta have a strong base.
It's a strong base. Come in there with balanced feet. That's why when you see fighters, they have a nice stagger in their stance, you see. It's because that means that you're ready for battle, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And B really wasn't ready for battle. Morris was. That's why Morris came in, ha, to the chest. And then there you go. And B almost folded up like that little chair that I sit in the little room.
I know this became viral last night, but did you see it? The girl's reaction? The young lady's reaction in the background.
No, I
didn't see
that. No, I missed that.
To the shove?
Yeah. So she's sitting, I don't know if she's a photographer, and you see her face just go, oh. It was like if we were sitting there, we'd be like, oh, damn, look at this. And she had that exact same, like pretty much everyone's reaction was her reaction last night. But like, let this just show that Joel Embiid, this only confirms what I think most of us already knew, but for whatever reason, it wasn't a consensus. This is just what he needs for whatever dumb reason.
So what's going to be next?
Like, that's the thing, right? It's like, does he keep it going? Because he has to keep it going. If this team is really going to have any chance of making it to a conference final or making it to the NBA final, whatever it might be, he needs to play at the level that he was at last night. This needs to be the way it is for Joel Embiid. This can't be the selection process. This is the process, mm-hmm. Not the selection. Like, I'm going to be selective about when I turn it on or not, which has been a huge criticism of him over really the course of his career. Ben Simmons might not make the smartest play every single time, and it might result in a turnover, but damn it, that guy plays hard, man. Both ends of the court, the man plays hard. But when I watch Joel Embiid, it's like, okay, great. We have this great moment right now. We have this spectacular moment. You beat the Clippers with Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and all those guys. You beat the Clippers, man. And now it's like, okay, are we going to get back to this level right when you come back from the All-Star break? And by the way, you're going to be healthy when you come back from the All-Star break, right? Yeah. It's all good?
Last night was the blueprint of what this season was supposed to be. And it was on full display from the long defense. Look how much they frustrated the Clippers, holding them to 103 points. That's great. Kawhi Leonard got his points, but my God, the job that Ben Simmons did on him to work for those points was fantastic. They got dribble penetration when they needed it. They got bully ball from Joel Embiid at times, which was perfect. The freedom that Josh Richardson and Tobias Harris could play with because they had the room to do so. Al Horford gave you 27 really good minutes, albeit off the bench. I just watched last night's game, and I came away. That second half was the best long stretch of basketball they've played in a while.
Was I hate to just break it down to a high school kind of thing, but...
It's basketball. It's not rocket science.
Did I watch a motion offense last night?
How about that?
Like, did I not see a guy stand around and just kind of raise his hand in the air for maybe more than 8 seconds? Like, I've seen almost every night, it seems like. Last night, I'm watching, and Glenn Robinson had a lot to do with it, especially in the second half.
He's good.
I'm watching I'm watching him just move freely. There wasn't any log jam. There wasn't three players in a 5 foot radius. I'm like, this is amazing. It's all because, look. It's all because of how Al Horford came off the bench. I'm convinced of that. It's also because, again, you have a heady player like Glenn Robinson that kind of knows where to find the spots on the floor, knows where to slash and all that stuff. But I just felt like there was no logjam that we had been talking about. And the funny thing is, Al Horford still played 27, 28 minutes last night. It wasn't like he only played 20 minutes off the bench. He essentially still played starters minutes, but just didn't start for the team. Again, Korkmaz was his mistake. Credit to Brett Brown for correcting in the second half. But throughout the entire game, you just felt like there was a better fluidity to the game. All the stuff that we criticized kind of went away.
I don't think Joel Embiid should really be playing more than 30 minutes a night before the playoffs anyway. So there's still plenty of minutes for Horford to get. There'll be some crossover here and there, but I think no doubt you saw it. It makes them a better team.
I was in the locker room last night after the game and had a chance to talk to Al Horford. He said all the
Did
right
he remember
things.
Remember you? Like, oh, hey, buddy.
There was no dap or anything like that. We didn't, like, bro hug or anything. No, I don't think he really wanted to be there, to be honest. But I give him every ounce of credit because Brett Brown comes out during his press conference and he says it was an adult conversation. That, you know, where he told Al Horford the day before the game that he wasn't going to be starting. And he's like, yeah, he was all class. I respect it. And he respected it. And it was great. Everyone loves each other. It's fun. So then we go into the locker room. And Al Horford grabbed his jacket before anybody talked to him and walked out. And I think it was David Murphy asked him, hey, are you talking today? And he's like, oh, yeah, I'll be right back. And then he walked like through the shower area. And we're like, well, that's see you later. That's that. And then he came back. And we're like, cool. And he addressed the media, and he talked. He talked at length, and you could tell he was not happy about it. You could tell he handled it like a damn champ. Good for him, good on him. But look, anybody, and Trey, look, you never had to get to that point, obviously, but because you were damn good throughout. But being
I was benched once.
You were benched?
Yeah.
When were you benched? Oh, Jacksonville? When were you benched?
Against Green Bay one time.
What'd you do to Juan? Did you knock the cookie out?
What'd you say to? Did you
it
talk?
It was the second time I was ever late.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, and Big Red made me sick.
So not performance based.
Yeah, that's not performance based. It's punitive.
Well, I was benched.
That Andy Reid will never win a Super Bowl.
Bench is benched.
Did you just not start, or you didn't play?
I didn't start.
So what was it? A series?
Yeah, maybe the series.
I was like, all right. Trey, did I send my point? Yeah, all right. Yeah. Get in there.
So I was right. Anyway. but you, like, you never looked at it. You're like, hey, Trey, we got somebody better. But Al Horford was told how you can help this team best is coming off the bench. And that cannot be a good thing to hear if you are any bit of a competitor. Nobody wants to hear that.
I know.
Even if it's a role you're going to thrive in, you don't want to be told you're not a starter. And like in basketball, it's weird. Like to say he's benched, he's still played 28 minutes, but he was put down to a bench role, you would say.
Yeah, but when you get up in age, you say, well, okay, all right, come off the bench, eh? Do those checks still direct deposit? All right, yeah, that's cool. No worries.
Well, you hope that Yeah, it's $109 million. Yeah. I'll tell you what you're doing today. You know, that kind of thing?
Yeah, no worries.
But none of that translates. Like, even though you talk to him after the game and you get the sense and you look him in the eye, and Bob, you've been there plenty of times, you look him in the eye and you can just tell. You look into a man's soul. Like, you know that he's not happy about coming off the bench. But none of that was portrayed in his game.
No.
He played that game hard.
He came off the bench, grabbed the rebound right away, hit a three right away. And you just got the feeling in the, you know, from the arena, Mark, you were there, but watching it also, that it was like there was new life in this team. Like, oh, this might be the answer. Do I think it's that simple? No, but it's a big piece of the puzzle, I think, that goes a long way to forming this team the way it should be.
Yeah, well, here's what I got. It's not, like, this team is a team we've seen these flashes before. We saw it on Christmas Day with the Bucks, for instance, right? We've seen them. We saw it last night with the Clippers. Sustain it. When you get back from the All-Star break, let me see this same level. Let me
win on the road.
Yeah, confirm my idea. Confirm our hopes that your best basketball is in front of you.
I know, my gosh. Only six turnovers.
Yeah. Three in each half.
Only six turnovers? Oh, yeah, man. We got.
It's amazing when there's no when but there's I was spacing told, and you feel like you have room to do something.
I was told Ben Simmons sucks.
did somebody say Ben Simmons sucks?
Yeah, people say that all the time.
I hear he can't shoot with a damn. So that, okay, thank you, because I derailed myself for a second there. I was talking about the ovations from last night, and Joel Embiid blocks Marcus Morris.
Mm-hmm.
That was great. Everyone, that was probably the loudest ovation of the night. The second loudest ovation in terms of reaction to something in the game, as it, during the course of, not like a stoppage of play, and Joel Embiid's walking off the court and he gets the crowd into it, you hear a little bit of a trust the process chant, right? Mm-hmm. The other, the second loudest ovation, do you know what it was? Did it come through on the old TV?
I don't know.
It's Ben Simmons related.
Yes.
There was
the one-foot jumper?
The one-foot jumper.
That was nice.
And the place went bonkers. Like, it sounded like a home run in baseball. Like, all of a sudden, it was just like, and he did it to beat the shot clock. Yeah, yeah, winding down. But still,
it looked good. He can make that.
That's two games he's done a little turnaround jumper to beat the shot clock. The first time he missed it.
That's why it's aggravating. It's because he's decent at it.
He can do it.
So do it.
And everyone lost their mind. It was like a spurt of like a loud, uproarious cheering by everybody.
It was funny. I'm at a high school game last night before I went home and watched the Sixers. And somebody said to me, they came on, they were like, can you please tell me why Ben Simmons doesn't shoot that 10, 12 footer? And they say, you know, I hear that he practices it all the time. And I said, yeah, he practices standing there, catching the ball and shooting 10, 12 footers and 3-pointers all the time. But that's not how he's going to shoot 10, 12 footers in a game.
Mm.
I need to see him practice, dribble at the top of the key, go as hard as you can for two dribbles, stop, pull up, and shoot. I never saw him practice that when I was covering the team. That's what he needs to put in his arsenal in order for him to become that complete player that everybody's looking for.
Like what he's going to do? Like what he's going to do in a game?
Yeah,
that's like, amazing.
Yeah, you know.
He's
practice what you're going to do in a game.
He's a professional basketball player.
He's not going to stand still, catch the ball, and shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Not anytime soon.
Yeah. My number one thing from last night was that all our suspicions were confirmed that this city and Joel Embiid are on the same page. It's all good.
I'm not on the same page yet.
You're not on the same page yet?
No.
Did you see him do his post-game interview on TNT?
Yeah.
We'll play this for you later.
I didn't.
He was fighting back a smile.
Yeah.
You know what it was like? For whatever reason, it was like if you work with somebody that you don't like at all and you get to give them bad news. Like it was like you don't want to revel in how much you're enjoying telling them news that might crush their soul. Mm-hmm. But like he was fighting a smile as he was being asked about, are you a hero or are you a villain? And he's like, I'm always going to be both. Mm-hmm. And then he started talking about the fans. Like you just got the sense that he really enjoyed poking the bear.
Okay.
I was thinking of Trey after the interview gets done. Okay.
The TNT interview
where he talks about I gotta be me again.
Or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
And he was ready for that question. Oh, I'm always going to be both. Like he was all ready for all that. He turns around and walks away, and I see his name on the back of the jersey, and I thought to myself, "There's no I in team." But there are two eyes in Embiid.
Yeah.
Everything is me. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that, but think about it. Mm-hmm. I got to be me. I'm just trying to be dominant. I want to be player there. I would have loved to have seen him last night say, you know what? Ben Simmons is a monster.
Yeah. Mm.
Did you see his defense and the way he distributed the ball tonight? And now that Josh Richardson's healthy, man, this team, if I can help him out the way I should, then we can go along. I would have loved to have heard that.
Mm. Yeah.
But, you know, there's two eyes in Embiid for a reason.
I hate going to this because it's the BS. It's the drama that surrounds it. It's not basketball. But when people talk about whether or not Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid can play together, the one thing that lets me know, the one positive check mark that they can play together, is that Ben wants no part of that. Ben just wants to play basketball.
Yeah, he just wants to play.
Yeah. Right, and that's a guy that I acknowledge who he's dating, and that's fine. Good for him. But in terms of
basketball. That's the spoils of basketball.
Yeah, good for you. Like, fine. I'm not going to. Oh, really? He's all Hollywood dating a Jenner. Yeah, fine. But yeah. When it comes to basketball, he just wants to go out there and do his job, and he wants to go home and to his beautiful lady.
Yeah, this narrative's getting way out of control.
With the Embiid playing with the
candy kitchen. Go home to his candy kitchen.
And he wants a game. He just wants a game.
He wants a game. And Joel wants to be a showman.
Yeah, but this narrative, Candace Parker last night goes, well, Joel Embiid's as good as gone from Philly. What?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
That's so
stop.
Lazy. I hate even addressing, like,
just stop.
Piping hot takes of someone from the outside looking in.
Did you get the feeling at all, Mark, last night being at the, and I got it on TV, that those two interacted, Embiid and Simmons, just a little bit more than usual? Couple hand slaps, like a pat on the chest.
Yeah.
During a foul shot, Simmons went over and they both started talking to each other when they were underneath about what was coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I thought consciously, and I think it was more Simmons than Embiid, there was more visual communication. Yeah. You know, was like
aesthetically. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was part of the game plan. Yeah. PDA is a good way to put it. Right?
Between Ben and JoJo, here's what I noticed the most after the Marcus Morris thing. Ben was right there again.
Oh yeah.
And he was like patting him on the back, and they were walking up the court together. And I was just, I thought to myself, aw, look at these guys. This is nice.
Yeah. Ben's like, I choke him. I will choke him.
They, you know what they remind me of? They honestly remind me of Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson in White Man Can't Jump. Because you have Joel Embiid that wants to look good then win, but not look bad and win. I forget the exact analogy they draw in the movie. And then, Ben Simmons just wants to win. Mm. Like, he just wants to play. He just wants to win. That's what they remind me of, those two. Mm-hmm. It's rather enjoyable.
That's funny you say White Men Can't Jump, because one of the things I came away from last night's game is, and a little critique, which has grown on me, Joel Embiid can't jump. A little bit. I'm telling you, watch his post. You guys have heard how I've been complaining about his post-up game, and it's been growing in me a little bit. Like, boy, he doesn't go up and get the ball. He doesn't get the ball at his highest point. When he holds off a defender and he's posting up and the ball comes in him, he can't jump and get it. Or when he catches down there, he missed a little layup last night, got it back and laid it in. They were calling that it was a self pass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so,
you're 7'2". Dunk the damn ball. Yeah. He can't jump. He can't collect himself to go up and get the ball at a high point and jump. Uh-huh. And if you think about it and watch the game and concentrate on it, you see it an awful lot. I don't want to say it's a major problem, but it's concerning.
He does have more finesse finishes than I'd like.
Yeah,
but and then he also gets fouled a lot, goes to the line, gets his points.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, Trey's got a 6'8 son in high school. If they feed him down low, he's going up and getting the ball at its highest point. He never does that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a little weird thing that I'm kind of concerned about. Like, why can't he jump and get the ball?
Oh, boy. There we go.
No. Knees. Just something to look for.
Oh, boy. No, now you have me worried, Bob.
No,
my day's ruined after enjoying a nice basketball game.
That's a lot that you had to collect. It's 7'2 of...
Yeah, that's true, too.
A whole lot of moving parts that you have to, like, get all in the same... All right, let's go jump now.
All right, so here's the biggest question I think comes out of last night. And it's going to be a while before we get the answer because the All-Star break... is can they sustain this? That's been the biggest question. We've seen these flashes from the Sixers before. Can they sustain? I know that they have to, and I know that they should, and I get all that. But like, you got to prove it to me, to confirm for me that you're not a first-round playoff exit, to confirm for me that you're not a second-round playoff exit, you can at least be a conference finals team. And right now, they haven't done anything to prove that. They've shown me that at home a number of times. What, have they beat 6 or 8 different teams, the top echelon teams in the NBA? They beat them at home. Good. Now, including the Clippers, with the guy that's probably playing the best basketball right now, the guy like Kawhi Leonard. And you took care of business last night. You even were able to sustain the last 5 minutes of a basketball game that were close against a superstar like Kawhi Leonard in the league right now. Like, that's a huge thing. And one of the reasons you were able to do that was because one of the guys that you've been missing, Josh Richardson, stepped up and had a hell of a fourth quarter. And I thought had the game-sealing play when he crossed over Kawhi Leonard, took him to the rim, got the N1, made the foul.
Yeah.
That is exactly that's what you've been missing. A guy that can take it to the rim like that, quick off the dribble, like Josh Richardson can. And, man, he did it last night. Coming up today, we have the definition of a jam-packed show today. Adam Schefter, joins us at 7:30. There's a lot of that jibba-jabba going on right now about Amari Cooper, whether or not he can be coming here to Philadelphia.
Mm.
Also, where Tom Brady's going to end up. What's going on? Phillip Rivers is out in San Diego.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott, does he get traded? All this fun stuff. Adam Schefter will help shed some light on it. He's on his way to the combine?
I don't. He said he's flying to Indy. That was his text, but the combine's not for another week and a half.
It's a soul food restaurant there. Maybe he's just going to get some collard greens. I don't know.
Ooh, I love collards.
Yeah. I think he's going to have every meal at St. Elmo's Steakhouse. I think he's just going to go there.
The shrimp. They also have that White Castle right next to Lucas Oil Stadium.
I've had many of Thanksgiving meals there.
the combine is a party now.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. The combine is...
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, my bad.
No, I didn't know that. I thought it was serious business.
Yeah, like with all the coaches and the agents and everything.
Yeah.
You got Jerry has a big super Dallas bus riding around and everything with certain coaches on there going from, you know, bar to bar. Oh, yeah.
Really?
The combine is a party, man.
Wait, is Jerry where he is Indy where he had those pictures?
Dean Blandino?
Exactly, yeah.
Huh?
Is that where he had the party bus with Dean Blandino and he was like hugging the girl in the bathroom?
I'm not sure about that. I can't,
can't confirm or deny.
But I just know that, you know, you see the Dallas bus riding around and, you know, it's a party.
All right, we were at the auto show last night. We have a couple pairs of tickets we're going to give away to that. Tobias Harris, we're going to hear from him a little bit later in the program. Got a chance to catch up with him last night. Also, Devon, we'll hear that around 8:30. And our own Devon Gibbons will join us around 9 o'clock. 610-632-0975. Can the Sixers sustain the way that they played last night? Can Joel Embiid keep it going? And we'll talk a little bit more about motivation, and we'll hear from Brett Brown and JoJo after the game coming up here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Six o'clock hour brought to you by United Rentals Power and HVAC for all your power generation and HVAC rentals in the tri-state area. Visit unitedrentals.com. It goes without saying that the energy was in the building last night because every single home game this team has brought two losses before the All-Star break at home. Best record in the NBA at home. A lot to be desired on the road, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So we know that the hometown crowd gives a lot of energy in that game. One of the best things about last night was just seeing Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, Josh Richardson, all those guys play with that same energy. And it's just going to be the biggest question as to whether or not this is going to be the right rotation, the right starting five for the Sixers going forward, and whether or not they can keep that same energy throughout the rest of the season. Because the team that we watched last night, I have no doubt can make it to a conference finals.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of sustaining that level. And that's been the biggest question mark for the Sixers, really, in this whole post-process era, if you will. B-Hawk in Philly, how you feeling this morning, buddy?
We got the win, and Embiid did his job, and that's all I got to say about that. I ain't going to say you on whatever A side. You did your job. Keep doing it.
Okay, yeah, keep doing it. There you go.
Just do your job. But anyway, other than that, I mean, the key to having Furkan go off, the Clippers game plan was so wrong. They were so aggressive on Korkmaz. It opened up so much last night, and they didn't know what else to defend. I really thought they keyed on him so much. They thought that's where even though he put up a goose egg, but it was a heck of a decoy. But them play collectively, but I think Josh Richardson brings, like you guys saying, he brings so much energy, man. He changed the game, man, and it really affected everybody in an awesome way. But like, it's funny because I criticized Ben so much, but you can see the monster in him. And all you got to do is add that one little thing when, like you said, the crowd went off, but just add that one thing. I see him being the leader. He's starting to slowly see it.
One thing that somebody tweeted me, I didn't notice this during the game last night, but apparently Ben like raised his hand to the crowd to egg him on as well.
Yeah, he did when he was going to the bench.
I saw Joel Embiid do that, but I didn't see. I gotta let you go, B. We had a little bit of a bad connection, but I didn't see Ben do that.
It was after a big. I think the Clippers have got it within two, and then Richardson and Ben kind of teamed up there to make it like a 6-7 point game, and Doc Rivers called a timeout, and as they were going to the bench, Ben did the arm raise, like, let's go, let's go. It was pretty cool.
Okay, yeah, because usually I just see kind of Joel Embiid being the orchestrator of that.
You could, and I'm sure you sensed it being in the building, you could tell that meant something important to them last night. There was a different energy from the whole team, top to bottom.
See, I've never been one. I don't buy into the idea that they can't play together. I don't buy into the idea that they don't like each other. I'll agree that I don't think they're best friends by any means, but I don't think that they're guys that are at each other's throats either.
No.
I think Ben actually likes the idea of somebody else to take all the spotlight.
Yeah, I think he's good with that. But you mean to tell me that Embiid has not been in the candy room?
It's a good point.
That's a legitimate question.
Because he does love candy.
Yeah. You mean to tell me that Embiid has not been in the candy room yet?
What if they really didn't like each other, and the genesis of them not liking each other is JoJo never getting the invite to the candy room?
You never have me over for candy.
Could you imagine for a second? I watched that video yesterday. The candy, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Drawers upon drawers. And Ben was like, yeah, as a kid, you know, I always loved candy. But when it was in the house, I didn't really care for it as much.
I saw a little bit of it, and then I actually saw the candy dispensers. And it's like if you go to a breakfast, like a free breakfast at a hotel, and they have the cereal towers. Yeah, exactly. I'm like, what the hell? Yeah. Like, that's in your kitchen, dude?
Yeah. And there's even a painting, I believe, of like a donut or some kind of sweet hanging on the wall.
But what kid doesn't like candy? I mean,
that's your goal.
I mean, yeah, get some candy.
Sports cards and candy. That was my goal as a kid.
Floyd Mayweather might be the only person that's never had a candy bar. I don't know.
Wait, did you say you never had a candy bar?
I don't think so.
Oh, wow.
That's psycho stuff.
That is pretty psycho. But no, but like, you watch that type. You watch the style of play in which they play. Now, I'm talking about both aspects of the game. I'm talking about what you watched from an X's and O's standpoint in the game, by seeing these guys be able to move, by having that freedom of not having Al Horford in the starting lineup, starting out, well, look, we don't like Furkan Korkmaz in the starting lineup, but we do like watching a guy like Glenn Robinson III be able to roam around the court. So seeing that from an X's and O's standpoint, Al Horford being mixed in for the 28 minutes that he got in the game last night, all that stuff is stuff that worked out on the basketball court. And then just the optics of it, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid with the pats on the back. I noticed it most after the Marcus Morris little tussle there. And then if Ben's going to get involved with the crowd and do that as well, like, how do you not feel great after watching that game last night?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you how. Not that I'm looking to rain on the parade, because I was down there. I was feeling the energy. I was clapping. I was having myself a good time, right? It's the only thing that now you think of is, can they keep it going? Is this now going to... And here's the only reason that I have optimism that it will be the new standard for the rest of the season. The new norm, if you will, is because you have a different lineup now.
Mm.
Not only do you have a different starting five, and I believe this is the way it's going to be going forward, but you also have two guys coming off the bench that help you tremendously. Now, really, three guys coming off the bench that helps you tremendously.
Yeah.
Now, if they do end up having Glenn Robinson III as your starter, and hopefully that's what they do, then you still have Alec Burks coming off the bench. Furkan Korkmaz, I think, is best in the role that he has been in, which is coming off the bench as a three-point threat. By all means, let him do that. And then you also have, you know, just some, you know, and some energy guys. You have a guy like Al Horford, for instance, that can come off the bench and give you great defense. You mean to tell me in the playoffs you're not going to want that defense coming off the bench?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll have that. I'll have that. Like, that's what gives you a little bit more optimism than normal going forward, that this can be the new standard for the Sixers, because they're a lot more, they're a lot deeper than what they were.
And you mentioned that Milwaukee game earlier, you know, like saying, oh, you came away from that. And that's true. Everybody came away from that saying, oh, my God, that's the matchup that you want. That's what they say. But that was, as we talked about, that was kind of fool's gold because of the three-point shooting last night. That's what makes me feel better about last night. There wasn't any fool's gold. You know, like, you got 26-9 from Embiid. That's not out of an ordinary, right? And he only went 28 minutes. Ben Simmons, triple-double, great night. He's been playing great for the last month, month and a half. That wasn't out of the ordinary. What Josh Richardson gave you was what you were hoping for. Tobias was what you were hoping for. Horford coming off the bench and giving you 27 minutes. Okay, that's the new norm that you hope to have. They only shot 46% from the floor. It wasn't like they shot 55 to 60%. And they only went 8 for 27 from three. So it wasn't like you relied on that when you're not a very good three-point shooting team. The one thing that they did do last night, and Trey, you mentioned it, that is like, wow, if they could only do that every night, was the six turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the only thing out of the ordinary that you say, I don't know if they can sustain that every night. Everything else was kind of just like long defense. They shot pretty well. They made good decisions. This is the team you envisioned. So I agree with you, Mark. They play like that, they can sustain it. This is an Eastern Conference Finals team.
Now, I know a lot of people look at this, oh, one win, and all of a sudden.
No, well, yeah, it's not that.
They beat the Clippers, and they do have a different roster now.
Yeah, like I was telling Bob in the 5 o'clock hour, my prism I was watching it through last night was, this Clippers roster is elite, top to bottom. Like, that is a championship team. And the feeling I left the game with, and I know they were at home, and I know they have to prove it on the road, Sixers could go punch for punch with them.
Mm-hmm.
The Sixers have an elite roster. And I think now with the new rotation and Horford to the bench, you're seeing a real championship contender. I really believe that.
The only thing, again, is that Joel Embiid, if he continues to select when he plays elite, then that's such a hit to the rest of the season.
Nothing matters if Joel Embiid is not Joel Embiid.
My only concern with everything is, what is he going to use next for that outside motivation that he needs to churn up for him to get going?
I'll go boo him outside his house again.
Yeah, Jamie found his address.
You suck, you jackass!
I'll do it every game, Trey.
It's a combination of Seal.
Yeah.
And Jamie calling him a jackass.
Yeah, he has to come out to Seal.
Yeah.
We found the right ingredient.
Well, you put that in a pot, you stir it up, you know what you get? A championship. Yeah. All right? I think we figured out the chemical compound that we need to motivate Joel Embiid. All right, coming up, we'll let you hear
from
Joel.
Maybe we'll go to Sizzler. I don't know.
Definitely.
Why not? We'll let you hear from Joel Embiid coming up in his post-game interview if you haven't heard it yet. We'll also let you hear how Brett Brown broke up with Al Horford from the starting lineup, because he certainly let him down easy. Brett's certainly a guy that can do that. Let's hear from those two coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's a fine song. Which one's this one, Trey?
It's a little Crane.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
There we go. There's the mix. I promise you, no matter how much we embrace "Kiss by a Rose on the Gray," this will be the song that Shibogi will be our song. I promise you that forever.
Yeah.
Don't you worry about that one. All right, coming up, we'll let you hear from Joel Embiid. We'll also let you hear from Brett Brown. How he broke the news to his man, Al Horford. Do want to mention this. It was a little bit of a letdown last night with the Flyers. A little bit of a letdown.
Tough spot for the boys.
They came roaring back. It seemed like a quick 3-0. All of a sudden, the Flyers were down, and they ended up roaring back.
They could have quit. 3-0 on the road, second of a back-to-back. But then, the way you come back in a game.
How do you come back, Bob? Tell me.
Follow your leader.
Who's your leader? What are you talking about? What happened?
That would be TK, Travis Konecny.
Oh, really?
So he said, no, boys, we're down 3-0. I'll get us back into this thing. So he comes out, scores a goal, and there we go. Here comes the comeback. TK sparks it. There they go. Tie it 3-3. Haig with a nice putback. And then you get the late goal. 3-3. Mm. Looks like something real good's going to happen. You had the extra attacker out there when you tied it. And then they give up a goal a minute later. But that doesn't matter because TK started the comeback. That could have been a blowout last night. It really could have been. Good, nice, strong effort by them to come back and tie it and have a chance to win it.
Claude Giroux, another two assists in that game. He's got a nice little point total after the last couple of games after going, four straight without a point. So that was good to see Brian Elliott. Good old... the Moose.
I think they just wanted to enjoy their point total for a day or two before moving on.
Yeah.
I think that's what it really boils down to. Yeah.
They had us in mind.
Yeah. They just want to breathe it in, live that life for another day or two.
By the way, the Flyers Wives Fight for Lives Carnival.
Yeah.
We're going to have a couple of the wives in studio again this year. As it looks, I will be participating in
Are you dunk
the
tanking
Flyers.
It?
You know, I don't like the term dunk tanking it. I feel like it's lowbrow. Uh-huh. I prefer dunk enthusiast. I don't know.
That's good.
We got an email asking if we'd be interested in being in the Flyers Wise Way for Lives.
Trey did the thing that I normally hate, which is the reply all.
Yeah.
But he was like, yeah, that's a no for me.
Yeah. Capital N-O.
Is it capital? Yeah.
Can you even dunk a guy that's 6'8"? Like, what is he like?
The bigger pool.
He gets dunked and, like, he's up to his waist. And he's like, yeah, nice try. I'm a giant.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that it was clear to everybody. That's a no for me.
I don't think I replied all.
I reply at all.
Yeah.
Well, it was just us, right? It wasn't. Was it anybody else?
I didn't care. I wanted to make sure that whoever was tagged into this. That's a no for me.
Wait, hold on. I'm going to go back and look at that email and see if, like, Anthony and Mike were on that email about, hey, you guys want to be in a dunk tank?
I hope so. There was a company-wide email yesterday that our sister station down the hall.
Yeah.
They started.
Oh, somebody steal wings?
Like all of corporate is on this email, and you had people from our sister station asking, like, minutia detail about the new studios down the hall to, like, the whole entire company. And I just wanted to be like, guys, the reply all button, don't hit that anymore. Stop it.
But I really want
the urinal come with an undercarriage fan?
How big are the urinal cakes?
Are there pens down there?
That's a Robert. Frank in Audubon. What's up, Frank? Frank?
Hello?
Hey, buddy, what's happening?
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Awesome.
Listen, I know everybody's all excited about the Phillies and the Sixers, but, dude, the Flyers, man, it's Flyers time. Come on, boys.
You're right. I'm fired up. I'm always fired up. You know that.
How are we going to play, like, the first and second place team, and then, you know, then I feel like we get dumped on by, like, these other teams.
What?
Hey, buddy, what's happening?
Oh, wait, hold on. I sound great. Turn me up, Frank. Hold on, turn up that radio.
That's my mom. She loves this.
Oh, your mom's there?
What's her name?
Yeah, well, put your mom on the phone. I have a song I want to sing to her.
They want to talk to you, Mom. She's fired up, too.
Let me talk. Will you put your mother on the phone, Frank?
Yeah, here you go, Mom.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hi, Mom. Who's this? What's your name?
Sharon Borman, Audubon, New Jersey.
Hey, Sharon. What's going on?
Sharon, what's happening? I'm trying to get ready for work. Go Flyers!
what'd you like?
They'll hear me on the radio, right?
Yeah. What?
It's all good.
Yeah. You're upset. Are you upset that the Flyers lost last night?
I'm upset, but they'll come back.
See that? That's the optimism. Let me ask you, Sharon, right?
Yes, dear.
Sharon, do you like cars?
Cars?
Yeah, do you enjoy cars, automobiles?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. You want to go to the Philly Auto Show?
Absolutely.
See that, Sharon? You have yourself a great day. I'm going to put you on hold, and you can take your son if you want, but you should just go for your...
Day.
Sharon, while I have you, what do you think of the song Kissed by a Rose by Seal?
Love it.
Isn't that a beautiful
song?
It's
a beautiful song.
It's a great song.
It's like one of my favorite songs now.
Because I really do suck.
Sharon, I want to let you know something. You're my new favorite person in the world. You're my new favorite person. You're going to the Philly Auto Show, all right?
Yes.
Just let me get a Let's Go Flyers from you.
Let's go Flyers!
Sharon, do me a favor. Don't take Frank to the auto show. You go and you take.
Morning
romance. Oh, Sharon, I'm a happily married man. Yes, when do you want to go? No, all right. All right, you're the best, Sharon. Thanks so much.
My son's like really embarrassed right now. To put me on the phone.
He's got a cool mom.
Yeah, well, you tell Frank he's got a cool ass mom. How about that?
Yeah, right.
He's got a cool ass mom, right? See that?
Sharon, I know it's early in our relationship, but I love you.
I love you too, man.
All right.
I'm
going to
have a great day at work. Thank
all right. You have a good one. I'm putting you on hold. You just want some auto show tickets.
That's awesome.
That was pretty good.
Sharon rules.
I think I'm having an affair. I think that's just what happened.
We call that emotional cheating.
That's what that is?
Yeah.
Emotional cheating.
Like Jessica Simpson was Johnny Knoxville in the interview.
You're emotionally cheating on Celeste.
There's a lot of energy in Frank's house at 7 o'clock in the morning. My God.
She's fired up.
Yeah. He must just inject espresso into their veins.
I guess he flew up from the basement. And then, you know, Mom was like, Flyers! yeah, high five. Let's call the radio station. That's pretty good.
Live radio.
Sharon,
babe.
You gotta love her.
Live radio, babe.
Auto show's
apparently
good time.
You do, Mark.
Auto show. The 2020 Philly Auto Show, February 8th. So it's going on right now through the 17th. 700 vehicles, 10 days all under one roof. There's nothing like it. Visit PhillyAutoShow.com.
Did you get anything there last night, Mark? Did you see a vehicle you liked?
Bobby.
The Shaggin' Wagon was in the house.
Bobby, I know.
Shaggin' Wagon was cool.
So I was sitting next to one of these guys that is a big car guy. And I walked into, I watched the game from the NBC suite. And because I don't like going to the press box or press area, Bob, you know it's terrible. So I go up to the press box so I can like have fun. And I'm watching it, and this car guy's talking to me, nice guy. And I mentioned that I was at the auto show, and he was like rattling off all these things. And I'm like, all I know is cars like have motors and wheels. That's all I got for you.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.